here at the Idea of the Family, or Idea of the Family, Idea of the Village Conference here in Clear Creek Monastery, right outside of it in Hobart, Oklahoma. Here today with the Catholic gentleman, Mr. Sam Guzman. Sam, thanks so much for coming on, hanging out with me.
Well, thank you for having me, good sir.
I got a question for you. It seems like that over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, that the idea of a village is a new, I mean, it's like it's been resurrected from 500 years ago. It seems like that this idea of the idea of a village, or the need to have this village concept, is being resurrected out of almost nowhere. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because, is it because the culture is so crazy and out of touch that Catholics are finally realizing, okay, we can't do this anymore? Or is it because we should be doing this all the time, we should have been doing this constantly, and we're just realizing we've dropped the ball?
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something there. I think it's something that as Christians, we should be living as an extended family almost. You know, you look at the New Testament, you read the book of Acts, and you talk about how the earliest Christians lived, and it was very communal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were going from house to house and, you know, praying together. It says breaking bread together, which I'm sure meant actual meals as well as the Eucharist, you know, and there was the sense that our life is a shared life. Our life is a participation in each other's lives. We are brothers and sisters in the truest sense. We are a family of God. And I think, you know, as Christianity grew, that got harder and harder to maintain. And yet you also look at the fabric of European civilization, it was very much communal. I mean, they were of necessity. I mean, villages formed because maybe you weren't a farmer, you were a blacksmith, but you sure needed to eat bread, and you sure needed to, you know, have food on the table, so you relied on the farmer. And, you know, and the blacksmith might not have knew how to make shoes, so he relied on the cobbler. And the cobbler needed, you know, silverware for his dinner table, mm-hmm. but he relied on the blacksmith. So there was this mutual dependence, and there was this mutual intertwining in each other's lives, and that's how villages formed, all anchored around, say, a shared worship, a shared form of worship. Now, the problem with the modern life is that mutual dependence has vanished. We truly, and it sounds terrible, we truly no longer need each other. If I need groceries, I don't rely on my farmer neighbor down the road.
Right.
I go to Costco, you know.
Right.
And the same thing, I need shoes, I go to the shoe store. I don't rely on the cobbler. So this sense of dependence, which really is essential in some way to forming an authentic community, has vanished. Mm-hmm. So instead of needing each other, we now have to choose to be with each other. And I think the idea of a village conference is hoping to foster that conversation. Like, how can we be together in a world where true necessity no longer exists? Now, I will say about the modern world is it creates the illusion that we're impervious to change, that the way things are now are the way they will always be. However, if there were some sort of, if we lost the power grid tomorrow,
we would not be very civilized.
No, and we would discover dependence again on each other very, very quickly.
Right.
And so, you know, it's good and healthy and holy to foster this sense of we need to be a part of each other's lives. We need to rely on each other. We need to help each other. We need to be there for one another. If you look at scripture and find all the verses where it says one another, there's dozens and dozens of examples where, you know, Paul is and other writers, scripture writers are saying, do this for one another, love one another, be there for one another, forgive one another, you know, be hospitable to one another. And over the sense that no Christian is saved alone. We're all saved in community and saved with the body of Christ as a corporate thing. So let's extend that to ordinary life. Let's extend that to our regular interactions. Let's eat together. Let's celebrate together. And I know in Tulsa where you are, there's a great community of people who are doing that in a very real way. But it's got to go beyond Sunday Mass. Coffee and donuts after Mass is not community. you know, we need to be a part of each other's lives. We need to go over to each other's houses, be hospitable, love one another, be a part of one each other's lives. And that's what we're trying to foster here.
Do you think, without the risk of sounding too, like, unpatriotic here, which I'm a big fan of America. I think everybody knows this. But do you think that the privilege of this idea of freedom in America, like, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, this is me, you know, and I don't need you because I am a, you know, I'm an American freedom.
Right.
Do you think that that has affected the need? Oh, there goes a balloon. Do you think that that has affected the idea of a village, the need of one another? Like, it seems like, to me, that America struggles with this more than other countries who have a lot of the things that we have here. Like, not, I'm not talking about third world countries. I'm talking about people who have things that we do. But it seems like America struggles with it more.
Right. Yeah. I mean, America was obviously, other than, you know, Native Americans, was populated by people who were either leaving communities that already existed and launching out on their own, or truly rugged individualists who were part of no community whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Daniel Boone types who wanted to go out and explore the frontier and, you know, live in the woods by themselves. And so they were either true individualists, or they were families and maybe even groups of families that were severing ties with the old world, which is a painful thing to do. And so they come to America, they start founding this country, and they have the mentality that we have to be strong to survive. We have to rely on our own ingenuity, our own creativity, our own strength. And there's not this sense in the, you know, in the old world, it was very family oriented, very communal. You know, you live, had small towns, small villages. But I think that, yes, the fabric of America is people who had a completely different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, immigrant families. And a lot of times, you know, if you look into the history of America, even like prisoners were sent here and things like that to be kind of sent away from the cultures in which they live. So the mindset was very much self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the literature of early America, same thing. Self-reliance, individualism, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, make something of yourself.
Right.
You know, go from the gutter to, you know, the Empire State Building. Like, that was the mentality. And yes, to learn that you actually can't survive without others is a lesson that we need to learn. Because even if you shop at the grocery store, there's still a farmer out there somewhere
right.
that you're depending on. And the sooner we realize that no man is an island, the faster we can begin to take steps to create healthy communities. And, you know, as a body, as a church, we need to realize that no one is saved alone. We are saved as part of a corporate body of Christians. And we really need to rediscover that idea in our individualistic age. It's only getting worse.
Yeah.
The more isolated we are by technology and things like that, the more these social relationships are broken down.
So guys are listening right now and they're saying, listen, I get it, Adam. I get it, Sam. This all sounds great, but I'm a city guy. I don't want to go live out in the country. I'm not interested in farming. I'm not interested in homesteading. But I still want to, like, be a part in some way. What does that look like, and what do you suggest for them to do?
Well, you've got to be intentional, or it's never going to happen. And as I mentioned, you know, you have a great community in Tulsa of families that, you know, are in a part of your life. Invite somebody over for dinner. I mean, really. If there's somebody, you know, you talk to after Mass occasionally on their way out the door, stop, say, why don't you guys come over for dinner next week? And you'd be surprised at how many people would be delighted by that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And share a good meal that you pour your love and labor into. You know, have a bottle of wine, enjoy good conversation, let your kids play. You know, spend time with one another. And you know what? The more you do that, the more you'll want to do that. And maybe next time you'll invite somebody else over. And then maybe the next week someone will invite you over. You know, and the more you give, the more you will receive.
It's very contagious.
Yes. You know, hospitality, generosity is contagious. And I think it starts, though, with taking that first step. When my wife and I were first confirmed in the Catholic Church, we were new Catholics, didn't know anybody. We were in a parish where we didn't really feel at home. And we thought, we're never going to make any friends. We're never going to make any friends. It's hopeless. Mm-hmm. But then we saw that there's this big, beautiful Catholic family with all kinds of kids. And they just look so joyful all the time.
And we're like, how are you guys so joyful with all these kids?
No, we thought we'd love to get to know that family because right. they just look like they're living a vibrant Catholic life. So, you know, after a while of working up our courage, we finally went over after Mass one Sunday, tapped him on the shoulder, and struck up a conversation. And before the conversation was over, they had invited us over for dinner, and now they're some of our best friends. You know, they're godparents of our children, and they're just totally a part of our lives. But it took us taking that first step mm-hmm. for that to happen. And if we hadn't have done that, who knows? You know, we might have been isolated permanently. I don't know. But you have to take the first step.
It reminds me of you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable as a Catholic.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And do you have to live in the country to have community? Absolutely not.
Right.
You know, there's challenges of living in the country, too, you know. But wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, be intentional about it. And take those steps, and I think God will reward that.
Sam, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're a great guy. I really enjoy hanging out with you. I appreciate you taking the time and your talk today. Are the talks going to be available online? Or?
Yes, they will be. They have been recorded, and they will be available on theideaofavillage.com shortly.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye.